So chapter 7 and 8, we're going to do just kind of a review of chapters 7 and 8. And the two chapters specifically talk about the idea of recognizing that God is our Father, and then about bending our hearts toward Him. So that's where we're going to be. But before we get going, I was just kind of interested, don't think about Heavenly Father, but just what are some words or what are some thoughts that come to mind when you think about Father? Somebody? When you think about Father. Security. Someone else? Patience? Love? Trust? Provider? Okay. Anything else? Happiness. What'd you say? Approachable. Protection. Caring. Good stuff. Now let's think about this. Now when you think about what is the difference when you think now about God as our Heavenly Father? Anything else that's different or anything else you would add or see differently? Darcy? Gracious, okay. Almighty and powerful. Unconditional. Okay. Say it again. Ever-present. That's good. I like that. He's a good listener. Aren't you glad, Scott? Yeah, hey, take that one to Jesus. Well, you know, I've said this many times over the years, but when we think about God as our Father, I mean, it just ties in so well with the idea of little children and a father. The little child just, there's just so many things they can't do for themselves that the father needs to do for them. And when we think about it in our Christian experience, we think that, you know, hey, well, you know, I'm an adult, I can take care of myself. Here's the reality. I have so many people that come to faith in their older age, and they just think they get mad because they should have it all figured out, and you have to kind of paint a picture for them. You have to say, well, look, let me paint a picture for you really about who you are right now. You got a Dideon, and it's probably got a load in it. You're sucking on a binky, and you just can't do this on your own. We're little children, and we think that for some reason, we think that we can just speed the process of growing up. And I think what we got to get back to is this idea of, look, at what we need is from the Father is our spiritual things. We need the gifts of the Spirit. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to see the things that we don't know or understand concerning the kingdom of God, the kingdom that we can't see with our eyes. And so the idea of trust comes into play, the idea of this helplessness in our need of dependency upon Father God. So we have this hope in the help of God for all things. And the beauty about that is, in the book it brought this out, that as we wait for the Father, the Spirit is actively engaged in our life. And we could go in a lot of ways that He's actually engaged, but let's just pull it into this arena of prayer. Romans chapter 8 says it this way. It says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Well, how does the Spirit help us in our weakness? Specifically, it says, when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit prays for us. He prays to the Father on our behalf. Now, to us, often we don't understand this, but here he says it this way. He prays on our behalf through sighs and groanings to the Father. How many have ever been there? You want to pray, you don't know what to pray. So what is that moment like? It's right? There's a... if y'all get that, you know you have no idea what you think you know what you need, but you're not sure. You're heavy. Your heart is heavy. You're sorrowful, and there is this sigh, or there are this groanings. They are the Holy Spirit's cry to the Father on our behalf. See, it says that the Holy Spirit prays for us with sighs and groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. Interesting. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So often, it's not helplessness when we come. It is a dependency, trusting that God's going to be there. I mean, you're there. Why did you go? Faith brought you there. Maybe desperation brought you there. It doesn't make a difference, but you're there. And while you're there, there is something that has taken place that sometimes we don't see. You know, that the sigh of, I have no idea what to do. We think that's not going anywhere. The Holy Spirit is translating in a way that we have no idea. I've pictured it in my mind before because I've walked through this area of thinking for myself that I'm going, oh, Father. And the Holy Spirit's going, Father, this is what Tracy needs. And He knows me altogether. He knows the heart of God. He knows the will of God for my life. He knows exactly what God's doing in my life and wants to do in my life. So we need to be encouraged in that. See, what I want when I pray is simply this. Father, get me out of this. Right? Yay! I just thought it was me. I thought, oh man, you're way immature. Just get me out of here. Change it now. But the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit wants and what He's praying is, Father, walk Him through this. You know, I think we all understand sometimes it's through the difficulties of our life and going to the Father, that there is this purging in our life. There is this that only God can do. When I'm fearful and I'm going to the Father, what He does is, fear is not of God, so what He gives me is faith. Right? When I am crying out, Abba, Father, what I'm doing is I'm leaning in, and I'm really wanting what God wants, although I know that when I'm saying, God, get me out of this, I know that that's probably not going to happen, but I know that He will get me out of it in the sense that He will do what is necessary in my life to help me understand, to give me strength in the midst of my weakness. He gives clarity. That's just what God does. And none of us get it as the way we want when we want. I've never really seen that happen much. It is, God has this way about working in and through our lives that the tricky part of that, or the difficult part of that is we don't like it. None of us like it. But we find when we got through here, we were glad that God did what God did His way, because He really fixed what was going on. He really brought clarity for our lives. There's so many times I've been in conversation with Denise over the years. Hey, I just needed to be broken in my own life. Denise needed to be broken in her life. I needed to be pulled back a few feet, and she needed to be pulled back a few feet, and God needed to sit in the middle and help us see each other more clearly. So, you know, when you're in difficult places, you're running to the Father is exactly what you need to do. And you don't need the right words. I mean, try to pray them. But when you don't have words, you got to know at that moment in time, God's in the mix of that because the Holy Spirit is praying for you on your behalf. So if there's anxiety in your life, we know that that's really not of God. And so when you draw near to God, what happens? That anxiety, where there's anxiety, you draw near to Him and He gives peace. If you're depressed, that's not of God. So when you draw near to Him, what He does, He gives you hope. If you have a low self-esteem, that is not where really what God is wanting for our life. When we draw near to Him, He causes us to be made very aware that we are His children created in His image and His likeness. And if we're tripped up in sin, when we draw near to Him, He helps us understand the reality that He's broken the power of sin in our life. So the whole point is that we just need to keep going to the Father. That's this idea of leaning in. It is bending toward the Father. And it is Abba. It is Father, the love and the intimacy. I will obey you. So when we get to those places and we're going through tough things, I think all of us have been through very difficult things in the struggles that we've had, and I'm sure none of us have liked them, but when we leaned in, when we trusted, God seemed to do the best for us. I mean, even sometimes when he seems to answer, you think, man, I thought it would go a different way, and then you get a few steps down the road a little further, and you go, no, that just really went the right way. Thank you, Father. See, you're a little child, and you can trust your Father. Your Father has your best interest in mind. He truly does. Any thoughts about that? Anybody? Let me get you the mic.
No, I just want to say something. I think sometimes we think we have to pray these long prayers, but I think, like you said, the Holy Spirit knows what we need, and sometimes it's something very short. Sometimes I think, I just say, Jesus, 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 help me, and that's it. That's my whole prayer, and then I feel better, because just calling out to God, that just gives me such a relief in those moments that I feel, like, overwhelmed.
Someone else? Thoughts about that? Quiet, had too much food. Should go grab a cookie. So the reality is no matter what your struggle is, the one good choice that you have is to draw near to the Father. With this idea that He is your Father and He will take care of you, but you will also listen to the Father to take the steps that the Father is directing you in. So bending yourself toward the Father. And when we lean into the Father, when we draw near to Him, things do begin to change. If it's none other than when you get there and there's a... I was in ministry in the Midwest, and I went through about a 5-year period where the only place that I felt God was close to me is when I was preaching. It seems like when I was preaching, God just pushed back all the darkness. But what happened as I keep drawing near to God and kept drawing near to God, even in those moments, He was present, and things began to change. All of a sudden, I quit complaining about not knowing, and I began to say, look, I'm putting one foot in front of the other. I don't have anything else to do. Father, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I know you want me to do. And sometimes that is it. So what we need to do is we need to trust. And I think that we miss this sometimes, this idea of this trust is this firm belief in the reality, the truth, the ability or strength of someone or something. That's trust. So when the Proverbs, 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and what will happen? He will direct your path. See, leaning in has its advantages. Leaning in is what we need to do. When the enemy attacks, what we need to do is we need to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Then resist the devil and he will flee. So, that's good news. The good news is putting your trust in God is your way forward. I'm thinking about sometimes when the chaos hits our life, it seems that the first thing we do is we don't pray. The first thing we do is we don't pray. The first thing we do is we worry. We get all stirred up inside. But you'll learn in the course of time, you'll learn that when chaos hits your life, the first place you go to is to your knees and to the Father. So we need to learn to pray even in the chaos of our life. We know that, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, I think last week or the week before we talked about this, the idea of don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. See, His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus Christ. So, for me, these last two chapters, chapter 7 and 8, is really helped me it has cemented more and more that who I am and who He is and where I need to go in life always. We need to go to the Father. And it doesn't matter your age. You know, you're teenagers. You know, you think, what am I going to do? Well, if you think that God doesn't know what's going on in your life, well, you're mistaken. If you don't think that He cares about what's going on in your life, your feelings, emotions, whatever it is, when you go to Him, and you don't even have to have words, you don't have to have it all spelled out. It's like going, okay, God, well, this is what Tracy said. I don't believe Him, but I'm doing this. I'm just going to do it. I don't know what's going on here. I have no idea, but I need some help in my life. And then all of a sudden what happens is, all of a sudden you've engaged God and God begins to move on your behalf and things begin to change. See, it's just steps. So the reality is, again, if, you know, I like it that it says, if God draws near to you and you draw near to Him. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, if you draw near to God, what will happen? He will draw near to you. So we're blaming God for everything. We're mad at Him for stuff, thinking He doesn't care, He doesn't see, and He's going, right here. I haven't moved. What's the scripture say? If you draw near to Me, I'll draw near to you. I was musing about that once, and I thought about that, and I thought, well, if I draw near to Him, and I go, you know, I'm taking steps towards God. And then I'm thinking how big God is. So I go toward Him, and He goes, whoosh, whoosh, huge steps. I mean, He's making up way more distance. The gap that is between us, He makes up way more distance in His stepping toward me than my stepping toward Him. And yet, He's encouraged us to do that. Draw near to Me, and I will draw near to you. So the reality for us this evening is that we just need to keep coming. We just need to keep coming to the Father. Whether there's chaos or there's no chaos, we need to keep approaching God. And when we keep approaching God, we will continue to have clarity, we'll continue to have peace, and the spirit, the sense of the awareness of God's help in our life will just continue to be there. How we want it, the way we want it, probably not. Not the way we specifically see it, but when He moves and He involves Himself in those affairs of our life, they are, it's all good. It's all good. So it's not so much this idea about, and he brought this out in the book, I thought it was really good. It's not as so much about self-discipline. You know, it's like, okay, I got to get up. I'm going to set my alarm early, and I'm just going to discipline myself every day. I'm going to pray 2.4 hours a day, you know, or whatever it is we decide. It's the idea about this relationship with our Father isn't so much in self-discipline as it is in seeing that our greatest need is Him. And the greatest thing that we need to do, or the thing that we should do most, is continue to come to Him in our helplessness. Because, let's face it, if it's your turn at 7:30 in the morning, and that's when you get up to pray, and you pray, and you set the, okay, I did that, and then it's 3:30 in the afternoon, and crisis hits your life, and you're not going to wait till 7:30 the next day. The idea is that we try to just discipline our lives. You know, we try to check boxes, and the Father's going, no, it's not about checking boxes, it's about relationship. Keep coming to Me, and you will keep finding Me. Let me just close with this. Paul said, it's in Philippians, he says, there is this one thing I do, and I'm just going to paraphrase it. There's one thing I do. I quit looking at everything else, and I look to Him. Just stop looking at everything else. Stop with all the other voices. When we quiet ourselves and we come to Him, He's going to have something to say to us. He's going to be involved. So when we quit trying to control everything about our life and we trust God about everything in our life, we will find the enoughness of God in all things through our life. And I think that it's here, it's in what we're talking about tonight. It's here that we learn. It's here that we discover over and over and over and over and over. Said it so many times, there's just one thing God is trying to teach us. Just one. Just one. He's trying to teach us to trust Him. Just one thing. So, if it's in finances, He's just trying to teach us we can trust Him. If it's in our marriage and relationships, He's trying to teach us we can trust Him. No matter what it is, He's just trying to teach us that we can trust Him. So, lean in. Bend your heart to Abba. Yes, Father, I will obey You. Amen?